So thankful that you're here. We have a special day ahead of us because we have Pastor Joe Saul with us this morning, and he has both services, and we're so thankful that him and Kathy are with us today, and it is a special time. I'm going to just mention that the founders of this church really came from the previous church of which Joe was our pastor, and early on, the church started in 77, but early on, we didn't have places to meet. We started in a home, and we moved around, and one time, we were desperate for a place to meet, and so we rented a warehouse off Nakoma near 281, and it was under the airport runway, literally, and when the wind was coming from the west, you had to stop the preaching or whatever you were doing because the noise was so horrific. But the Lord managed through all of that. And we had wonderful teaching and preaching and growth in Christ. And we loved each other. And it was a special time. That's just one of the many memories of the past. But it's all built on the fundamental fact of a devotion to the Word of God and a love for the Lord because of transformed hearts and lives. And we're very grateful for Pastor Saul being with us. So I'm going to pray, and then he's going to come and take off and talk about Mozambique and other things. Let me pray, please. Our Father, we gather this morning, Lord, knowing constantly our need of thy presence and that you would be with us to guide and direct in everything that goes on, to help us, Father, to be truly about your business, to serve you, and Father, to be delighted in the Lord Jesus, our King, our everything. Please bless our time this morning, Father. Help Joe and help us to listen and use this time for your glory and the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask in his name. Amen. Brother.
As I mentioned yesterday, it's a real privilege to be with you all. It's always like coming home. And Kathy and I are very grateful for you, for the opportunity to be here, and just to fellowship together, as well as to present, I trust, adequately, or at least to whet your appetite for what the Lord is doing in Mozambique. In order to get us into the mood, I think it'd be good for us to, if I can figure out how to do this. These were some of the women of the pastors that were there, and on the last day of the conference, when there was a breakout session to go over some specific issues, unknown to at least most of us who were involved in the conference, they had an hour worth of preparation, and what they were singing is, "May the Lord bless Mozambique through the ministry of the Fiel conference," and so very appropriate prayer that they were offering. And as Jim mentioned about the origin to all of this and going back a number of years, there was a young Air Force physician who was finishing up his residency over at Wilford Hall. And he eventually was associated with our ministry in here in San Antonio. And he had a burning desire to use his skills in a third world country. And the country that was placed upon his heart was Mozambique. At that time, Mozambique was looked upon as probably the most impoverished nation in the world. hasn't changed too much. I was just looking up some statistics now, and it is rated as the 8th most impoverished nation in the world. So a slight change, but really not much. And as Charles and I were talking, what impressed me about him is the reason he had a desire for serving the Lord in another country. And it's based on Psalm 96. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to Psalm 96. In Psalm 96, we read the following. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. The burden on Charles's heart was the fact that God is being robbed of his praise and his glory. You don't usually hear that in mission presentations. Emotionally, pitches are given as to why we ought to be going into other places to declare the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ the Lord. But to recognize from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, God is going to be receiving the glory. And his desire was to be proclaiming the glory and greatness of God in a land that really was ignorant of that truth, that God would be receiving the glory that he deserved. That's 35 years ago. And thankfully, he is still focused on that same objective, that not only would he and his family be instruments in the hand of the Lord to bring praise and glory to God, but that through their ministry, God would be receiving the glory he deserves. As it says in verses 7 and following, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. As you look at Psalm 96, it is a psalm that is proclaiming the glory of God. It is one of the important aspects of why we do what we do. Because when you and I think about God and any of his works, what is his intended objective? To glorify himself. And in that regard, the fact that you and I should recognize it begins with a proclamation of his glory, tell of his glory among the nations, and what flows out of that? Worshiping him according to the greatness of his being. And what is it we're to declare in verse 10? Say among the nations, what do you see? The Lord reigns. Now that's important for us to remember today. We get blindsided, don't we? Unexpected things happen. What do we need to remember? That God has established his throne in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. He is accomplishing his good pleasure in each and every event that takes place within this world. And then it ends with the fact that there is a need to be prepared for his coming. Because let the heavens be glad, verse 11. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Why? Before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth, and he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. And so it is the preparation for his coming. In your English version, that word Lord, verse 13, should be in all capital letters, which reminds us this is the personal name of God, Yahweh, and He is the one that is coming. It is also an Old Testament reference to the fact that the promised Messiah is more than just the son of David. The Lord is the one that is coming. Yahweh is coming. Who is the one that is coming? Oh, it is the son that was given. It is the child that has been born, whose name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And so what we have is Christ is returning. And when he returns, the curse will be removed, and all creation will rejoice with God's people in what he's done. That's our purpose for ministry here in the United States of America. No matter how much fruit we may see or not see, what is our responsibility? Say among the nations, the Lord reigns, to present the majestic glory of God. What is the purpose for what's happening in Mozambique or in any other place within the world? To provide individuals with an understanding of the majestic glory of God and what a privilege it is to know him and worship him through the one who is soon returning and coming, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. I think that's enough of an introduction to what I want us to look at today. If you were with us last night, I said if you're familiar with an individual by the name of Paul Harvey, who had a radio broadcast and always would tell you other details, now you know the rest of the story. If you're too young for that, I don't know, I guess we're going to Snapchat or blog or something, but we're going to fill you in with the details so that you see what the Lord is doing in this work in Mozambique. It says a picture is worth a thousand words. So I have many pictures, therefore won't have to use a lot of words, but I want to give you an overview of what the Lord is doing in Mozambique. Now, taking those verses from Psalm 96, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the peoples. This is in Johannesburg. For me, this was a beautiful sign to see. When Kathy and I, back in 2010, were privileged to go to Mozambique, we had to fly from Johannesburg to Maputo, then from Maputo all the way up to Nampula. It took us almost a day just to get there that way. This is a direct flight out of Johannesburg. And my understanding is, I think Trudy in the last time that she went, Jim also, they were able to take this Airlink flight. And so it was wonderful to be able to just to fly directly there. I would think that the Dickies in the same way have probably had this opportunity. So that's good. I had to leave on Monday because I was supposed to be with Charles on Thursday. And the reason is, this Airlink only operates on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it's one flight from Johannesburg to Nampula, and then a return flight on that same day from Nampula back. And I could not make connections to get into Johannesburg early enough on Thursday to connect with that flight leaving at 10 in the morning. So I arrived in Johannesburg on Wednesday, flew out on Thursday morning. Now, just a quick reminder for those that were with us last night and for the benefit of the rest, this is the country of Mozambique. The capital is down at the bottom, Maputo, and then the northern area. What are we going to compare it to? The west coast of America. The bottom border of Mozambique is the Mexican border. The upper border of Mozambique is the Canadian border. So what's the size of Mozambique? California, Oregon, Washington. 35 million people, give or take. 40 different tribal dialects, give or take. And then with that, the universal language is Portuguese. Up in the northern area, you can see Nampula is towards the upper third of the country. It is one of the major cities. Right now, statistically, they're saying about 1.25 million people who are there, but because of the difficulty with census, we're not sure. The airport itself looks like it did in 2010, looks like it did in 1990. It is still a third world airport and country. But going through the airport, doing my not only customs, but getting my visa, thankfully Hannah was there and they allowed her to come back to the area I was in to finish all the visa preparations. And then Hannah took me over to the area where the Woodrows are located and the entrance to the property that is there. Charles and Julie send their greetings, very thankful for the faithful support of individuals who have been associated with them, both from a financial standpoint as well as, and even more importantly, a prayer standpoint, that God would richly bless that ministry. Their home looks very similar to what it did when we went back in 2010. The only difference is I was wondering how much of a smoky smell would be inside because of what had happened with the refrigerator catching on fire and the problems that were there. And other than still seeing soot residue in the living room area on the ceilings and some of the walls, you saw that, but you didn't smell anything. It was really very comfortable and pleasant. This was my accommodations. It's the guest quarters that they have, a couple twin beds pushed together, but under the net to make sure keeping malaria at a low. Something that wasn't there when I went back in 2010 is the guest quarters that they are building. It is just about done. In fact, it was used as dormitory areas for some of the volunteers who had come to help with the conference. As we had mentioned last night, every morning Charles gathers his workers together. He has a devotional time with them, and in that devotional time he has been reading through the scriptures. He is now in the book of Revelation, and that Friday morning he was reading from Revelation chapter 20. And the workers were all gathered after the reading in the word and prayer. He would then distribute to them their responsibilities. I showed this slide last night, and I thought, well, maybe I should just cut it out, but I didn't, because what I didn't mention, I don't know, it's kind of small in the background, but against that white building structure that is there, you might see some of the laundry out to dry. This area with the tent that's being set up was where they were putting up, you know, temporary bathroom accommodations, as well as the tent that you see, the green and white tent, is a dormitory for many people to sleep in. It also shows us how much room is still available for expansion. Where the individuals will initially come when they are coming to the hospital for medical attention is being used as a place for worship for the church that is associated directly with the ministry of Charles in Nampula. It was being prepped so that they could be showing movies each evening for those that would like to remain and see them. The first night, as I mentioned last night, was Pilgrim's Progress, and all the movies that were being shown were in Portuguese. The tent that is set, it was being set up for accommodating the feeding of the participants, and the bamboo long curtain that you can see to the left of the tent structure, behind that is where the kitchen area, air quotes, would be found. Things being set up for the conference all the way up through the weekend. A dozen tents, each of them would hold five people, and they were being set up for sleeping accommodations. In addition to being there for the conference, I was asked to speak both Sundays and be able to see some of the worship that they were involved in as a church fellowship. As they began to gather, instead of starting at 9:30 like we do, they begin their worship at 9 o'clock, and usually they're done somewhere around noon. Mentioned about Hannah as a gifted individual from an administrative standpoint, also a great asset and help to Charles, linguistically very capable. She is also a great musician, and so she often provides, along with some of the nationals, the music. In fact, that day there was a young man that had written some new hymns, and that was part of what they utilized in their worship, and some pretty good solid theology that came through those hymns as he played his guitar with a group around him to lead in worship. One of the elders of the church, giving some exhortation and instruction from the word, and the people gathering together to sing praises to God and to learn of his truth. Charles was my interpreter for the worship times, and we looked at the essence of the new covenant. You know, if you're not familiar with Jeremiah 31:31 and following, you need to be. The new covenant's an unconditional covenant. I thought it tied in very well with the theme of the conference, which was being transformed by the grace of God. You know, God is the one that makes the unconditional promises is what he's going to do. And it's not only to justify his people, but it is also to sanctify them, to transform and change them. If you're a child of God, you no longer have a heart that is deceitful above everything else. That's the essence of what he does within you. He gives you a new heart. And that's why when Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, I'm convinced concerning you, you're filled with all goodness. Why is that true? New covenant. God makes a change in his people. Doesn't mean we don't struggle with sin, but we're no longer controlled. We're no longer servants of it. We have been liberated by the work of Jesus Christ. Now, in spite of some of the failings of the Wesleys' theology, obviously they were used of the Lord, but Charles might have understood things a little bit better than his brother John. And one of the hymns I enjoy is that hymn that reflects upon what God does within his people. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Your eye diffused a quickening ray. I awoke, and the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was set free. I arose, went forth, and followed thee. And can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? So we talked about the new covenant and what we should really expect and to see in God's people. Because if you are a child of God, you are a miracle of his grace. And that was the message for that Sunday morning. Before we started worshiping, I heard a little bit behind me as I was interacting with Charles. Mia viu. And shortly after that, I was almost tackled with a big embrace from behind. That individual was Arnaldo. And what Arnaldo was saying to me was, my grandfather, because here is one of the first fruits of the ministry of Charles. Met him way back in the early 90s, and just rejoice in seeing his love for the Lord, love for his word, his growth in Christ. Arnaldo, many of you have met his son, one of his sons, Achilles. So as far as for the conference itself, just a few things, way everything was set up and ready to go. A key person was Charles's Daryl, as I mentioned last night, Colton. He runs their audiovisual, their live streaming, because the messages that are given at the conference go out throughout the world. nation, also throughout the world. They're available on YouTube even today, if you're so inclined. And of that, we had basically 500 individuals that participated in the conference. My translator and I, in one of the sessions that we were doing, as I had mentioned last night, the focus of this year's conference, because we're, even though we're still the FIEL conference, and I need to remember what Charles started many years ago is the basis for what are the FIEL conferences now in Mozambique. But because of his heart surgery last year, he couldn't have the conference in the summer like usually would take place. And prayerfully, and I think providentially, we looked at what would be good to do. And encouraging him to consider, instead of doing a topical theme, let's do the book of Romans. And so last year, Romans chapters 1 through 4 were done. This year, Romans chapters 5 through 8 were done. And next year, the Lord willing, chapters 9 through 12 will be the theme and the focus of the conference in Nampula, not necessarily following through with the others, but with the kind of results that are happening from the book of Romans. You know, the Lord loves to use his word, and Romans, without a doubt, has been significantly used by God throughout the history of the church in many ways to kindle spiritual awakenings, reformations, and just the movement of God in so many ways. I was privileged to teach Romans chapter 6. The other speaker, Samuel, who was from initially Angola, but has been ministering for over 20 years now in Portugal, was the man that we shared the teaching responsibilities together. He did chapter 5, I did chapter 6, I did half of chapter 7, and Charles did the other half of 7, and then I got to do the first half of Romans 8, and Samuel did the second half of Romans 8, and it all meshed together so very well. Here is my translator to my right, Anselm or Anselmu, and then the man I just told you about, Samuel, who was the other keynote speaker. Just so many of these young men, very appreciative of what they were learning, desire to grow in the things of the Lord. What I think is important for us to remember, it isn't a conference where everybody of the same theological mindset would be coming. We had individuals that were missionaries who were coming from different places, and it was a place where they could be fed. And so they had registered for the conference, had some good interaction with some of them during the conference. You have individuals from more of the signs and wonders, a experiential theological mindset that were there. But the fact is that as they were hearing the truth of God, they began to realize maybe some of the things I was teaching and had believed before isn't biblical, and began really searching the scriptures. And one individual came and talked at length with Charles about the fact that this has been revolutionary in my thinking. I have to go back and just, you know, almost like Augustine or Augustine, right? He had to have his review of all things he had taught before and make his corrections. And so we trust that God is doing a mighty work that way. Another couple of men, the guy in the maroon brown shirt, his name is Elisu, easy to remember, whether it's Elijah or Elisha, one or the other, but Elisu, because he sought me out, talked to me many times. In fact, he set himself up on my phone on WhatsApp so that he's sending me text during but just hungry for God's truth and wanting to grow in that truth. There's the man, you know, right? Achilles, I know he was here. And he made the trip down from upper parts of Mozambique to be there and sought me out that we could visit some. It was a real treat to be able to see him as well. Because it was at least 14 years ago when I saw him. So the bookstore, quote unquote, the tent with the books that are available at a reduced price because of them being underwritten by individuals who want to get good literature into the hands of the Mozambican pastors and Christian leaders. As we had mentioned last night, one of the things that was so impressive was the feeding of the 500. Obviously not as impressive as when Jesus took care of the feeding of the 5,000, but the way it was orchestrated and the quality of the meals that were provided was amazing. If you remember, it says Jesus fed the 5,000 plus women and children. And so the kitchen crew here fed the 500, which were the participants in the conference, but along with that, all of the volunteers and other staff people, so they probably fed somewhere around 600 or so, because my registration number was 609, and there were people who had gotten registration numbers after me. Twice a day, meals were provided, along with kind of tea and, you know, we would think of maybe a little breakfast, cake or something, first thing in the morning, every day. And so it was something to behold. With that, I know Trudy remembers, my wife Kathy remembers, one of the things Julie does each time for the conferences is she makes cakes so that there's a sweet dessert for them after each of the meals. And she is, it has grown so much that she has now a team that helps her with doing it. These are the African women that are in her kitchen, so you can see how well it's cleaned up. Doesn't look like the pictures we saw in the updates Charles gave after the refrigerator decided to go haywire. But she set up three teams because there were 30 cakes that needed to be prepared each day, and each team was responsible for 10 of them. And what Jim and I had discussed last night, and what impresses me, is the Christian community there is a joyful community. And what's so impressive, and you go away with, they have nothing and they are filled with joy. We have everything and we usually moan and groan. Amen. It's sad. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. This is a little picture or video that Julie captured. And she shared it with me. But I want you to see what I'm talking about. And so every day they're singing for joy before the Lord. I've been on work crews. I don't often hear that kind of enthusiastic response to the task that's given. This is the kitchen where meals were prepared for those that were attending the conference. The blessing, as I mentioned last night, is that God touched the heart of a gifted chef who now serves as the executive chef of a very stylish hotel in downtown Nampula. And for the last 3 years, the burden on his heart was to use the abilities God's given him to help feed the 500. And so this is what he works with to provide the meals for the participants in the conference. And as I had mentioned last night, the man to my immediate right is that executive chef who, with his team, faithfully prepares the food to feed the 500 lunch and dinner each and every day of the conference. Never missed a beat, never was late, food was always hot, and it was good. You know, I remember being there before and thinking, yeah, okay, Lord. Help me to, yep, help me to show appreciation this time. Man, we chowed down. We had some grilled fish one night. We had a chicken kind of stew that was, man, so delicious. We had steak one night and then another beef dish on another night. Just a very capable individual, and what a blessing. He's done that 3 years. He just takes off from his job. This vacation time where he can be there to help with the conference. And here are the people lining up to go through the tents in order to be fed. They have 1 hour for lunch. We started right on time as things were orchestrated for it. Sitting on the tables, enjoying their meal. In the evening, it was a little more relaxed. In order for us to know that it was time to come back to the conference, there was a choir group from some of the other Doctrine of Grace churches in Nampula that would sing before each session. And we would know wherever we were eating, it was time to come back and start gathering. I thought they harmonized well. I certainly don't have Roger's ear for music, but it was a delight to listen to them. You know, a very nice way to get ready for the next session. This is a group picture that was taken. We're still getting set up for it, but I think you can appreciate the fact this was the largest conference they've had in Nampula since it started. Like I said, there were slightly over 500 that registered and somewhere around 485, 88, something like that, actually attended, and then others who slipped in at different times through the conference. But just wonderful to see what God is doing. Another aspect of it is the seminary ministry that I started to talk about last night. Three men in particular who have gone on and been trained in seminary training in Brazil have come back with a burden that there would be a grace-oriented seminary available in Mozambique, and with that in Nampula. And to just go clockwise around from the left front, that's Timothy. I'm Joe behind him. Across the table from me is Ernest, or Ernesto, and seated to the front next to him is Ibrahimu. And so these three men had me spend a good afternoon and evening with them, just brainstorming, asking questions about the seminary ministry. With that in mind, this is Ibrahimu with his wife Carmosa, and this is at their home. One of the things that I was impressed with, to go back to the very first time I went there, there still are many of the mud hut homes all around the city itself. But these individuals really had very nice homes, not only for meeting their needs and clean, et cetera, but this is in the front yard of the home of Ibrahimu and his wife, Carmosa. The guy seated in front of me is the man I told you about yesterday, Ernesto. He goes by his last name, Valoy, with his wife, Selma, and their two children. He is a college professor in the area of philosophy. Had a great evening with him the Thursday that I arrived, and just the burden on his heart to want to see individuals coming away or being delivered from the vain philosophies of men into the liberating word of God and the philosophy that comes out of the scriptures. So he is one of the seminary professors as well. And then Timoteo, who goes by his last name Bila, with his wife Sarah, is the third of those individuals. I was asked to put together a mini morning class on the last day I was there, which I was happy to do. In order to accomplish that, Hannah willingly said that she would serve as my translator. I think you can see that it is not only set up for in-class instruction, but it was being broadcast because they had students that were doing it online as well. At the current time, they have 22 students enrolled in this initial year of the seminary. I love this verse in Ephesians. You know, the God who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. You know, we go to him in prayer and we're a little reluctant when we ask. Nothing is too hard for our Lord. And that's why, as God's people, there is always bright hope for tomorrow. You know, God is on his throne. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And what we're looking for is the hospital ministry. What is such a blessing is just down the road from where the Woodrows are located, there is now a medical school, and individuals for both medical and dental training are being prepared, Mozambicans being prepared for ministry. As we had mentioned last night, the equipment is there, but what is so exciting is to see that God is raising up Mozambicans who have a desire, Christian doctors, nurses, who embrace the doctrines of grace, who have a desire to be part of what's happening in the hospital ministry. And in lengthy discussions with Charles, this individual here with his wife is one of the key individuals, Dr. Carlos Sell, who, as soon as the government signs off on a promise they have made that individuals who are trained in Mozambique can work in the hospital, is ready to come. And the desire is that in 2025, at least from a clinic operation, it will be going. Charles showed me a list of everything from lab techs and pharmacists, others that have indicated their desire to be part of it. And so we have a God who can do beyond all we could ever ask or think. And so right now, in regard to the medical ministry, we need to be praying that God would move upon the health department individuals, both the national, but more importantly, the area of the Providence, the provincial health director, to sign off on the verbal promises that they have made. And Charles, before he comes into the States at the beginning of October for his daughter Sarah's wedding, he'll only be here briefly. Julie is already here, but has meetings set up, and hopefully that will be accomplished. And then that we have the delight of seeing that operation take place. Other ground that is available for personnel, either from the medical ministry or the church ministry or the seminary ministry, to be developed and utilized. Bonifacio and his wife, Stephanie, I think it's Estefania. Linda, do you?
Stephanie,
thank you. He is a Christian pastor. They also have a catering company. Having dinner in their home, that was good too. I mean, I asked him if they came to the States to cater. It was really well done. And guess what? They had a really nice, well-equipped kitchen in their home, but guess where they did their cooking? They did it at their outdoor kitchen. You know, they had a covered area with the same kind of pots that they were using at the, not that Bonifacio was using, but they were using at the FIEL conference. But this is a key individual as far as transitioning and for the spiritual ministry in Mozambique. He's been associated with Charles and Julie for a number of years. Charles is very appreciative of him and has confidence in him. And along with Bonifacio, Bila, who came out of a Pentecostal I don't know if it was exactly signs and wonders background, but has embraced the scriptural teaching on salvation by grace through faith alone. He is pastoring one of the churches. Sadly, I did not get to go to see that ministry while I was there, but had real sweet fellowship with him, both for pizza night out with the guys, as we talked about last night, and then on other occasions. And then with him, Ibrahimu, he is more of a kind of a regional director. He has planted churches, started churches around the Nampula area, and right now there are five different ministries that he has been establishing elders and Christian leaders in them. Just a very, very gifted man. He did a special session at the conference, really appreciated his understanding of the word, his ability to speak it so clearly, and especially with the use of the stories that are typically African, but without deviating from, you know, being in the word. So these men in particular are ones to be thinking about for the spiritual ministry that is there. And so as the sun was setting on my trip while I was there, again, Charles and Julie want to express their gratitude and appreciation for your continued love, support, and prayers. And all I can say is everything about the time there was a real delight. And I had mentioned about Hannah being such a gifted musician. So hopefully my pictures did 1,000 words for each one. May I just close our time in prayer? And if you'd like to ask me some personal questions, I'd be happy to do that. Father, you are far greater than we can ever imagine. Truly, not even the highest of the heavens can contain you. What a delight it is for us to see your hand at work in our own lives, in our church family, but even in other parts of the world. Father, may we be choice instruments to proclaim your glory. And most importantly, Father, you seek individuals to worship you in spirit and in truth. May we be individuals whose hearts are filled with adoration, with love, with devotion to a God who is worthy of all of our life and being and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.